Good morning, everybody. Thank you all so much for being here. It's lovely to have all of you with us as we get together to worship God today. Merry early Christmas to you. It's 8 days away. If you didn't already know that, you can check with my daughters. They know how close we are to Christmas, and you do too. It's an exciting time each year, and from my family to yours, we hope that you have the happiest of holidays, safe holidays, fun, do all the fun stuff. And we had a lovely congregational party on Friday. Again, many, many thanks to those who made that possible. A lot of hands were working on that. And my family and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Also, thank you for the very nice gift that I was given at that party. We appreciate that so much. My family loves this congregation. I really do believe that the Augusta Road Church of Christ is a special place. This congregation has been a blessing to me and my family, and we love you all very much. And again, happy holidays. Enjoy them. Have a blast. That's what they're for. I want to ask you a quick question this morning, and it's, where are you? It may sound a little strange. I've been talking to you for few minutes now. I know where you are physically, but that's not what I'm talking about. In the early portions of Genesis, God asks Abraham, "Where art thou?" Now, God very well knew where Abraham was physically, but that wasn't the question. The question was a little deeper than that, and probably no surprise to you this morning that my question to you is a little deeper than that. Where are you? We're going to let Mr. Jonah help us with some possible answers to that question. I love Jonah, the man and the book. Jonah is a very complex character. At times, Jonah is a flat-out simpleton, so he's not always going to dazzle us with his complexity. But Jonah is a very real character, a very raw character. And looking at his life in the quick four-chapter book in the Old Testament will help give us some direction about where we are, where our families are, where we are as a collective. There are four possibilities presented in this book. Each are very well typified by the actions of Jonah. In chapter 1, we see that Jonah is away from God, and it's possible that you might be away from God this morning too. It's possible that your family could be away from God this morning too. And if either of those is the case, we are very, very sad and want more than anything for that status to change. Because it's no fun being away from God. There is nothing good to be had or done away from God. In Jonah chapter 1, we see our main character, Jonah, here, as he is spoken to by God. The Lord comes to Jonah, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, chapter 1, verse 2, "You go to Nineveh, that great city." Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And these were bad folks. I mean, really, really bad. Really, really bad folks. They would do horrific, unimaginable things to the bodies of their enemies. And in a day before Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, the whole world knew about Assyria because, well, their reputation preceded them. And some of the things that they would concoct to do with the bodies of their dead enemies would be done for that shock factor. So word would just have to spread. You couldn't keep this to yourself. You had to talk about it. The whole world was abuzz about the wicked Assyrians. It's called a great city, not great morally. Great, probably geographically, is a big old city. As Jonah, at long last, approaches the city, he is a couple of days' walk into it before he begins his message from God. So the city of Nineveh was huge, but the city of Nineveh was also exceedingly sinful. Cry out against their wickedness. God tells Jonah, their wickedness has come up before me. But, chapter 1, verse 3, Jonah decides that he's going to run away from God. Nineveh was approximately east of where Jonah was. And Jonah, upon getting these instructions from God, makes a beeline to west in the opposite direction from where God sent him. And he goes to Joppa, and he gets on a ship, and he is ready to sail away from the presence of God. Are you running away from God this morning? In Jonah's efforts, we see just the futility of running away from God. You can't run away from God. God is everywhere. One of the characteristics of God is omnipresence, and that means God is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go that God isn't. But Jonah, he wasn't thinking straight here. In his manicness, we see pictures of ourselves at times. You know, Jesus talks about this when he depicts the judgment scene. And on the day that Jesus comes again, Jesus says, some will flee for the mountains. They're going to try to run away from God even at that final last moment. Are you trying to run away from God? How would somebody even do that? Well, you know how it works in terms of getting close to God, right? How would you, if you were somebody else talking to you, try that for a second. If you're somebody else talking to you and you know about your life, everything that you know about your life, what would you tell yourself? How could you begin getting closer to God? Well, the Bible's a wonderful place to start. Read the Bible. How often do you read the Bible? In just a few short weeks, there will be gobs and gobs of New Year's resolutions being made. And a fair many of those New Year's resolutions may be to read the Bible this year. It's a wonderful, wonderful investment in yourself. Reading the Bible is, well, it's vital. I can't overstate the importance of it. That is one way to get closer to God. Are you doing that? Maybe, maybe not. If not, you're not getting closer to God. You're getting actually farther away from God. Maybe not to the stage of running away from God just yet, but it's certainly not a good thing to go days and days and days without reading our Bible. What about assembling like we're doing this morning? This is a way to get closer to God. If I was somebody else talking to me about my relationship with God, I would say, hey, attending church services is really, really, really important. And we have so many opportunities at this lovely congregation to get together and study the Bible and worship God and grow in fellowship and in service opportunities. And if we're not taking advantage of those, well, you're certainly not getting any closer to God. And truth be told, you're getting farther away from God. Or maybe you're just flat out running, like Jonah is here. You know what the Bible says about baptism, but you're just not going to do it yet. You know what the Bible says about instrumental music, but you're just not going to hear it. You know what the Bible says about modesty, but you're just not going to hear it. You know what the Bible says about Christian living, but you're just not going to hear it. And you're like Jonah, who is running, running, running away from God. I'll tell us this from Jonah chapter 1. You think it's hard. You think it's hard to live with God in your life, but he tried to live with God out of your life. You see a miserable man in Jonah chapter 1. And part of his misery stems from the fact that he's worn himself out in trying to evade God. You know, it's kind of like these mastermind criminals who could have been successful legitimately if they would have parlayed their work ethic into legitimate employment, right? These people, they work so hard to rob the bank or scam the system or get away with some wrongdoing. They work so hard to do that. Man, if they just would have done things by honest means, they would have been successful. Jonah here is working so hard not to do what God told him to do. And man, his life would have been so much better if he would have spent a portion of that energy that he's using to try to run away from God, doing what God wants him to do. Things would have been much better for him. His life would be much more at peace. Jonah, as he's aboard this ship running away from God, he's not getting anywhere because you can't run away from God. And it's soon discovered that Jonah is trying to run away from God, and God's catching him. Jonah wakes as a result of the crewmen waking him up because they're afraid of the storm that's brewing in the sea. And Jonah introduces himself, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, "I'm a Hebrew, and I serve, I fear, I reverence the God of heaven who made the dry land and the sea." Kind of awkward. And Jonah says, "I fear this God, yeah, but I'm currently right now trying to run away from him. I'm currently right now disobeying this God, whom I've just claimed to love and serve." And they knew that Jonah was running from God because he told them, verse number 10 says, long story, a little less long. Jonah is thrown overboard as a last result. He tried to run away from God, but it didn't work, not even close. Which brings us to chapter 2, where we see Jonah is toward God. Jonah wakes up in the belly of this great fish. He calls it Sheol, verse 2. This is an unseen, hidden realm. I've never woken up inside of a fish's stomach, but I would imagine that you feel kind of hidden. You feel kind of isolated. You feel unseen. And Jonah does what I think any right-thinking person would do in this moment. He prays to God. I want you to know, if you only pray when you're in trouble, then you're in big trouble. We need to pray more. And I hope that maybe one of those New Year's resolutions that I mentioned earlier in the sermon for you in 2018 will be to pray more. Pray more for your family. Pray more for yourself. Pray more for this congregation, for our elders, for our deacons. Pray more for one another. Jonah prays to God, and the Lord hears him. Chapter 2, verse 2. I think there are some very, very pretty verses on this page in my Bible. And one of those pretty verses is Jonah chapter 2, verse 2. Where Jonah says he cries out to God in his affliction, and you hear me. Those people who threw Jonah overboard, those men who threw Jonah overboard, Jonah was out of their minds. But God was not too far away to hear and to help Jonah. Jonah is crying to the Lord, and in his moment of despair, he remembers God, chapter 2, verse 7. We hope this for our families and our friends, that one of these days, maybe after a rebellious period, maybe after an obstinate phase, that they will remember God and come back. Jonah is in the process of doing this now. He's towards God. Now, there's a whole lot more to our relationship with God than just inching towards Him. But it's a good start. And for some who have been away from God for a long time, it's a very significant start. Those who have been out of church for a long time, you know, it's a big deal to come back to that first service. And hopefully we lift our heads up out of our own situation enough to see that and acknowledge that. Maybe some who have been away from this congregation will come back for a service or two. And if so, let's us be ready to say hello and to shake some hands and hug some necks and greet those. Jonah is doing just that. He's coming to the Lord. He's praying to God, only God. Chapter 2, verse 7, only God can help us when we need help most. Jonah doesn't call his travel agent, his financial planner. Jonah doesn't call his boss. He calls only God, who can only help when we need it the most. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, chapter 2, verse 8 says. And these words hit hard in our lives today. The idea of regarding worthless idols, and in so doing, forsaking your own relationship with God. Now, notice how you're in the driver's seat of this verse, chapter 2, verse 8, Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. If you regard worthless idols, you forsake your own mercy. God's not pushing you away. But you, because of your regard of worthless idols, are driving a wedge between you and God. This whole world is full of worthless idols. Anything that you think is more important than God is a worthless idol. Your favorite football team is a worthless idol if you make it one. Is this an okay time of year to talk about that? Your favorite football team can be a worthless idol if you make it one. It's not that automatically. It's innocent, harmless fun as long as you make sure that it stays innocent, harmless fun. But if you elevate it to the status of an idol, then believe you me, it's a worthless idol. Your family, as much as we love them, your family, if they come between you and God, becomes an idol. This time of year, there are people who are tempted to say yes to family more than they say yes to God. And it's a gut check for us Christians who say that we love the Lord and want to serve Him and want to please Him. It's time that we really live that. And the Lord lets us know that He is going to reciprocate this. If we invest in our relationship with God, He's going to match that investment in us. If we put Him first, Matthew 6:33 says He will put us first. And it's amazing to see that pan out in your life, in someone else's life. When we come towards God, beautiful things can happen. Jonah chapter 3, Jonah is now with God. And things are really progressing here. Now that Jonah has given up his foolish, futile efforts to run away from God, now that Jonah has got his head screwed on straight and he now sees and acknowledges God's place in his life, now Jonah has hit his stride, as we say. And the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. I told you there are some real pretty verses on this page in my Bible. Here's another one. Maybe one of the most comforting, prettiest verses in the whole Bible. Top five, would you say? The word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. Given how much Jonah hated this instruction from God, seeing the lengths to which Jonah would go to try to avoid it, it is remarkable. It's beautiful that God will speak to Jonah a second time. God is the God of infinite second chances. And here, Jonah is blissfully on the receiving end of our second chance giving God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Very, very beautiful verse. And it said, go to Nineveh. It's kind of neat, don't you think? The word spoken the first time was, get up, go to Nineveh. Jonah said no. And he learned his lesson. So when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, it says the very same thing it said the first time. You can fight all you want, but you're not going to change God. You can fuss all you want, but you're not going to change God. You can cry and moan and kick and throw a tantrum all you want, which is what we have Jonah doing in chapter 1 here. But you're not going to change God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and it said the very same thing it said the first time. You can fight, and in God's words to Paul, kick against the pricks all you want, but you're not going to change what God says about baptism or about church attendance or about marriage, divorce, and remarriage or about any of these fundamental topics of God's Word. You can fight and fuss and kick and scream and run all you want, get so mad that you quit church if you want, but you're not going to change God. You are not going to change God. And here, at long last, Jonah realizes that. So when the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, we call that grace. When the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time, Jonah obeys. And he goes into Nineveh. And he's inside of Nineveh's great border when he cries out, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Chapter 3, verse 4. And to everyone's amazement, when these people see and hear Jonah's message, chapter 3, verse 5 says they believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. This was typically done as a outward sign of one's mourning. And they proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth again. Another very common outward sign to reflect someone's contrite spirit. You can't see how much I'm hurting on the inside because of my sins. But I can do some things that would make that clearer to you. And that's what the whole city of Nineveh does, from greatest to the least, chapter 3, verse 5 says. And the Lord sees their works, chapter 3, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he would bring upon Nineveh, and he did it not. Wow! I mean, this is incredible. The city of Nineveh was big time sinning, and Jonah's message convicted them of that sin, and that message preached by Jonah It caused the whole city to respond. The whole city came forward and repented of their sins. And God sees this, and God calls this work. Repentance is work. Repentance, when done right, if done right, will feel like work. And it is a work that we must do in order to please the Lord. He sees our works. He saw their works. And God gives Nineveh the same second chance that he gave Jonah. Wonderful, right? Well, yes, for a while. Because chapter 4 is here, and it shows us a picture of Jonah. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you, Jonah? Chapter 1, he's away from God. Chapter 2, he's towards God. Chapter 3, he's with God. Chapter 4, he's ahead of God. The whole city has just repented, and God has spared them from his wrath. Everybody's a winner. But chapter 4, verse 1, Jonah is angry. Jonah is mad. Jonah is mad because he didn't think these people deserved God's mercy and justice. God, Jonah thought, should kill these people for all the bad stuff that they've done. Don't you know how bad it was? Of course God knows how bad it was. But these people were given a second chance just like Jonah was. And Jonah, he can't tolerate that. So in Jonah chapter 4, he presumes to lecture God about how God ought to be doing things. For those of us who've been Christians for a significant period of time, this may be the posture of Jonah that we need to be careful about the most. We've been a Christian for a while, and I've heard Christians say things like, "Oh, that doesn't work. That don't work." When we talk about withdrawing fellowship from persons for whom that is a necessity, it's very frequent for someone to say, "Oh, that's not going to work." Careful. Careful. Because it's not our place to sit where God sits. It's our place to do what God tells us to do. In Jonah chapter 4, Jonah took a good, hard, long look at God's justice, and he said, I don't like it. God, you ought to be doing things this way. Sometimes, in our experience, we presume to call the shots that only God should and can call. We presume sometimes to make changes to the worship service because we know what would work better, presumably. Or we have in our minds the way things ought to be. Be very, very, very careful. And next time you feel that you have one of the answers, read Jonah chapter 4, and we see Jonah getting out over his skis here in Jonah chapter 4. I don't ski. If you ever see me strapping on some skis, somebody call somebody because I have lost my mind. But I can tell you it's a bad thing when you get out over those skis, right? Because then you got nothing underneath you. Well, that's where Jonah is in chapter 4. He has gotten out ahead of his skis. He's got nothing underneath him. God needs to be his foundation, our foundation. But Jonah has convinced himself that he has all the answers in Jonah chapter 4. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to see the way he's reasoning in Jonah chapter 4. I recommend it to you highly. Four-chapter book, you could read it a couple of times before you go to bed tonight. What we've done is just kind of whet our appetite and follow along with Jonah and ask ourselves as we go, where are we? Where are you? Come back to that question that I asked at the top of the lesson this morning. Where are you right now? Where are you? Are you with the Lord? That's the only place you want to be. In Christ, that's where salvation is. That's where all spiritual blessings are. You can be in Christ this morning by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. If you're ready for those steps, we're more than ready for you. If you just need to talk about, study those steps, don't. If you know what to do, don't put it off any longer. Don't tell yourself you need more time to think about it or talk about it. If you already know what you're supposed to do, just do it. But if you're not there yet, we get it. We understand. In Jonah chapter 2, he's a man who is getting close to getting his life right with God. And perhaps that's where you are. Hey, we're happy to meet you at that place and study with you and talk with you as much as you'll allow it. If you are already a Christian, that's great. I really mean that. I don't say that just because. It is wonderful that you're a Christian. Know that we have to still be faithful to God. And this morning, if we can help you, wherever you are in your relationship with God, we would love to be there with you and help you through that. If everything is just great with your relationship with God, wonderful. Keep it up. And let us pray that will continue to be the case. If you need to respond to this invitation this morning, we invite you now while we stand.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.